Oh. Are we going to snap, crackle and pop? Yes, please. Thank you. Well, good morning again. It's great to see you all. I think we probably just need to turn the gain down slightly, if that's okay. Today, we are going to talk a second time about prayer. So last week, we talked about our individual prayer lives. And I hope, as I'm stood here this morning, that you do have a prayer life that is yours, that isn't just about a Sunday morning and praying, or coming to a prayer meeting and praying. Because prayer starts in the life of the individual. We see Jesus, and we see reflected in his life this lifestyle of talking to his Father, taking himself away, going up a mountain, trying to find space where he could talk with his Father one-to-one. And my thing is always, if it's good enough for Jesus, then surely it must be good enough for me. And hopefully you feel like that as well. It's so important that we do cultivate a life of prayer. But today I want to take it the next step, and that is to talk about the need for us as a church to be a praying church, to be a church that creates opportunity to pray, that creates moments in which we come together and we seek the face of God together. Now, oh, there we go. Do you want to go to the next slide, please, Norman? That would be wonderful. And press it first time. How many of you create space in your life for this? Okay. I've very recently become a latter-day runner. And I've got to say, I injured my shoulder a few weeks ago, and it prevented me from being able to run. Because when you run, you have to do this. And when I was doing this, my shoulder was in absolute agony. And so I've not been able to run for about the last 3.5 weeks. And I've really noticed not being able to run. I've really felt not being able to go out, because I know when I do this, I get fitter. I feel better. But to feel that way, to feel like I've got energy, to feel like I'm looking after myself, I have to put the effort in. Next slide. If you want a good job, or if you want to get a good qualification, what do you have to do? Study. If you don't study, then you've got less chance of succeeding. You've got less chance of getting where you want to go. Now, my wife will tell you that one of the things that irritates her about me is that when we were younger and we did our qualifications, she worked really, really hard. She was diligent. She studied every single night for several hours. I, on the other hand, was not so diligent. I put hardly any effort into my studying, but I still managed to get all my qualifications. Whereas she had to put all this effort in to get the same qualifications, and it winds her up. But I've got better over time, and I know that when I study, when we study, we are going to achieve more. Next one, please, Norman. When you're in a garden, and I think I've said this here before, I don't feel qualified to talk about gardening because I cannot make things grow. I kill things. That's what I do. So my job in life, in the garden, is to mow the lawn and to spray weed killer. That's what I do. But I know, because my mum is a gardener, that if you go out into a garden and you put effort in, you cultivate it, and then you'll get amazing things growing out of the ground. And I want to say this about prayer. What we put in prayer is what we'll get out. If you are a church that prays, you'll find that God begins to do all sorts of incredible things through you as a church. Turn in your Bibles, it's on the screen, but turn in your Bibles if you want to Acts chapter 2, verse 42-47. So reading from verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. I want you to pay close attention to that first verse. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. There was a foundation in the early church of coming together. They knew that it was important that they should gather. And in their gathering, in their listening to what the apostles had to share, remembering that what the apostles were sharing was not written down yet, the apostles may have been referring to the Old Testament, but what they were doing, I would imagine, because it's what they do throughout the New Testament, is they were sharing about Jesus. They were sharing the messages that Jesus had shared. They were teaching those stories that Jesus had told them. And as they gathered and did this, one of the things that they focused on was prayer. Now, just like if we go back to those previous slides, if you put something in, you'll get something out. The early church, they got something out of this lifestyle of prayer that they shared as a church. Nobody went without. Everybody's needs were met. Everyone was fed spiritually and physically. There was an incredible heart of generosity amongst all of the people. There was favor from outside the community, not just from within the community, but those outside of the early church, they showed favor. They saw this group of people and they thought, wow, this is an incredible group of people. People that didn't believe in Jesus. People that hadn't heard the message or maybe even rejected the message. But still they looked on at this group of people gathering together, praying together. And they said, wow. Wow, look at what these people are accomplishing. Look how they look after one another. Look how they care. Look how they love. And the point of us gathering together as church to pray has not changed from this very early example of what it was for Christians to come together and pray. Because as we pray, we hear the heart of God. As we come together, unity grows within us. Why? Because as a church, we hear God together. As a church, we're saying, Lord, what do you want us to do? Not what do you want me to do, but Lord, what do you want us to be doing? And as we hear God speak to us, we have unity in what he says, and we're all working and giving and sowing and serving towards the same thing. And what one person might be able to do by themselves, suddenly a whole community of people is able to do even more, multiplied many, many times over. Now there are benefits of coming into a church community that's praying. I remember growing up, I grew up in the Anglican Church. And in the Anglican Church, we have a liturgy. So there's a set service that everyone joins in every week. Now, what I really value about that is that even though some people might see that as being religious, and you're just kind of repeating words every single week and asking, is there any life in what's being said? But there's one incredible thing that I was reflecting this week as I prepared, that I remember, is that because of the way that the service happens, everyone's in it together. So when you read out the Apostles' Creed or the Lord's Prayer, or you share the peace together, or you come for communion, the whole thing is done as a community. It's not private, because we all spoke it out at the same time. So every single week, this big gathering of people would come together and would testify to their faith in God together, would pray together. Now actually, when I eventually got round what you might describe as the more charismatic church, I found that sometimes some of that was lost, because suddenly faith and belief came about what was going on in here, And that's what was most important. Rather than this communal praying together and hearing God together and worshiping together in that way. So there's a real strength as we come together, as the early church did, in praying together, in learning how to pray. I mean, outside of this kind of service pattern that I was used to, I eventually joined a missionary organization called YWAM, Youth with a Mission. And when I joined, all I'd experienced was this sort of rigid, formal structure of a service. And suddenly, I found myself in a place where, in prayer meetings, people would suddenly pray out these amazing prayers. And I was like, oh, I would like to do that. And so I sat back and I watched and I listened. And eventually, one day, when there was a little space in the prayer time, I stood up and I prayed my first prayer without it being read off a book. I mean, I'd kind of been learning in my own personal time that I needed to talk to God, and I was learning how to do that. But when I was in a bigger prayer meeting, I needed to listen and to pay attention. And I think that's one of the strengths of us praying as together as church, is that we learn from one another how to pray. We sharpen each other because we see the faith in one another. We see somebody beginning to carry a burden for something, and we see them get passionate about it. And that's what it was like for me, because when I was this new Christian, all I wanted to do was to be closer to Jesus. And one of the places that I learned how to be closer to Jesus was in prayer meetings. Because usually, that's where people who want to be close to Jesus, that's where they'll be, is in the prayer meeting. And I remember the first time in a prayer meeting, somebody stood up and they started praying in tongues. And I was like, what is this? I'd never seen or heard anybody praying in tongues before. Because in my traditional church, that was not something we did. Something I'd never experienced. But instead of getting worried about it, I watched the people who were praying in tongues. And guess what? They seemed really close to Jesus. And I was like, I want to be close to Jesus. But they seem really close to Jesus. And so I watched and I waited again just a couple of weeks. Because it then happened a few more times that people would start praying in tongues. And every time, you know, this little thing in me would go, I don't quite understand what's going on there. But every time I watch these people pray in tongues, they just seem like they're really close with Jesus. And in fact, when they're leaving the prayer meeting, They're going and doing incredible things for him. So these people that were praying in tongues, they would then go out and they would talk to people on the streets about Jesus, and they'd go and support families in the local area. And it was at that moment that I learned a really important lesson. For me anyway, it was important. And it was that don't get worried about manifestations of the Spirit. Okay? Don't get concerned too much about, if something starts to happen in a church service or a prayer meeting, you don't understand it. What you should do is you should look at the fruit of that person's life. You should look at actually what the outcome is. Are they close with the Lord? Are they working for him? Are they serving him? And that's what I was experiencing, was that as these people who prayed in this weird language, as they were shabababing, as they were shalababababing, and I was like, I don't understand. I don't get it. But they seem really close. And over that few weeks, this hunger in me, that they seem closer to Jesus than me. And I'm not having that. I want to be close like they're close. And so I listened to the language. Now, lots of people will give testimony of, you know, when they receive the gift of tongues, which is, you know, something we believe, that we can lay hands on people and that they'll receive the gift of praying in other languages, which can be literally other languages. I've seen that happen. But sometimes it's just this prayer language that brings us closer. And as I was in this context of praying together as a church community, I thought, I'll just copy them. So no one ever laid hands on me that I would receive this gift of praying in other languages. I just thought, I'm just going to copy it. And so I copied what they were praying. I listened for a week or so, and then just began to repeat what I heard them saying. And guess what? I found myself just getting closer and closer to God as I was praying. And then God just gave me my own words to pray. And it was just steps of obedience and steps of prayer, steps of listening and not judging. And because I was part of the community, because I was part of this community that loved me, full of amazing people who were serving God, I wasn't worried about the fact that it was all a little bit weird and a little bit strange for me. Actually, what I really understood was that we were all trying to get closer to God together. We were all trying to hear God together. And there's nothing like being part of a church prayer meeting to actually sharpen you in how your own prayer life is working. And so I want to encourage us all, you know, we have, there's two opportunities to pray in a week together as a church, 9 a.m. on a Sunday morning on Zoom. And then there's a Tuesday morning prayer at 7 a.m. And I know that there are other prayer meetings scattered around the church, but the two main ones are that, and they're both on Zoom, so you can join in. But as you get to be part of opportunities like that, you begin to find yourself being sharpened and being more effective in your own prayer life. Jesus in Matthew 6 said, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven. Didn't teach us to pray my Father. He taught us to pray our Father. There's a corporate sense in which we as the church are called together. Now, there is a challenge in that when Jesus said, just before this, he said, when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who's unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Now, that sometimes means that we see prayer as being a private thing. And again, as Rachel was sharing last week, that's where it should start. But Scripture reveals to us, and Jesus revealed to us, that as he walked and talked with his disciples, yes, he would take time to go and pray by himself, but he would also lead his disciples in moments of coming together and praying. And in fact, when he was just about to go back to heaven, what did he say to his disciples? He said, go and wait in Jerusalem. Go and stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high. He didn't say, go off to your own places and then maybe come back together. No, he sent them together to Jerusalem. And when they got there and they were waiting, what did they do? They prayed. They prayed without ceasing. They prayed until what they felt Jesus had promised actually came, the Holy Spirit that Jesus had told them would be coming. As we pray together as a church, we have an identity. As we pray together as a church, we have the opportunity to stand in the gap between the world and what's going on and the truth of what God is saying. Now, you absolutely can do that by yourself, but even in the Old Testament, God did not ask the priests to come as just one person. God didn't ask the priests to come as individuals. He said, come together. In Joel chapter 2 and verse 17, it says, let the priests who minister in the Lord's presence stand and weep between the entry room to the temple and the altar. Let them pray, spare your people, Lord. Don't let your special possession become an object of mockery. Don't let them become a joke for unbelieving foreigners who say, has the Lord God of Israel left them? In the Old Testament, we see that the Lord asked the priests together to come and stand in the gap between what was going on in the world, the judgment of nations, the fact that God himself was being mocked. God said, let the priests come and stand in the gap. Who are the priests now? We are. We are the priests that Jesus says, come and stand in the gap. And as we pray together as church, we are stronger to be able to do this. There's so many issues, so many problems, so many hurts, so much going on that by ourselves, by myself, I can find it all so overwhelming. But when I gather, when I come together in my church family to pray, I find that your faith increases my faith. That if I'm struggling to believe for change, if I'm struggling in my own life to find breakthrough, I can come to a church prayer meeting and I can hear the testimonies of others. I can hear the breakthrough of others. I can hear the strength of others' prayers. Galatians 6 verse 2 says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. The way that we can carry one another's burdens isn't just lifting them off each other's shoulders. I have enough of my own burdens to carry that I have to live with day to day. I don't necessarily need all of Joanna's burdens as well, or Alison's burdens. But as I pray for Joanna, as Joanna prays for me, we find that we can actually carry and bear one another's burdens in the way that Paul was writing about. Why? Because Jesus said about himself that his yoke is easy and his burden light. So when we come into the place of prayer, it means that we're able to talk to Jesus about the things that we're struggling with, that I'm struggling with, but I'm also able to talk to Jesus about the things that Joanna might be struggling with. And in the context of praying together as a church, we actually can come into the place of prayer and we can bear each other's burdens in prayer. Not just taking them off one another, but actually bearing them in prayer. The first outpouring of the Spirit that happened at the gate in 2008, we've had two. You've probably heard Pastor Yinka talk about this before. And certainly if you've done the DNA course, you will have heard us talk about it. In 2008, we had an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit came in an amazing way. And that outpouring of the Spirit started in the prayer meeting. It started as we prayed together. Now, the prayer meeting used to be, at that time, 2008, you might get 6 or 7 people that would gather together for about half an hour before the service to pray. But it was usually the same 6 people. Then one morning, there's a young man in the prayer meeting. And suddenly he just became really passionate in a way that people in the prayer meeting were not normally this passionate. But he suddenly became really passionate about what he was praying. And the noise level in the room just increased. Because usually you couldn't hear what was going on in that room. It's a little back room at the church in the old Meadway building. And you usually couldn't hear what was going on. But suddenly there was all this sound emerging from the room. And you know how people are curious? They were going, whew, what's going on there? And you could see people kind of hovering around the door. Just, what's going on? And so the next week, there was 12 people. So 12 people in this small room. And the sound had increased again. And we were like, something's going on here. And so we thought, well, we're going to take... So at the end of this prayer meeting, the 12 of us, we said, well, if more people come next week, we will not be able to fit into this room. And so we thought, ooh, maybe we should go into the small hall. Now, we had to talk to the children's workers and make sure we wouldn't upset them, because this was where they would need to be setting up. We said, oh, it's okay, we'll help you set up at the end of it. So we said, right, we'll go into the small hall. And because of the increase of sound and the increase of prayer, suddenly there were 20 people praying. And then the following week, there was 40 people. And then 60 people the week after that. And for two whole years, every single Sunday, anywhere between 60 and 100 people were coming to gather before the service for an hour to pray. And as we prayed, God began to do things that we weren't used to in the prayer meeting. People would get healed. Now, we'd seen little bits of that before, but suddenly there were lots of people getting healed. People who were a bit stuck in their faith, suddenly they were breaking through as we prayed together. And then on Pentecost Sunday in 2008, in this prayer meeting, the Holy Spirit just came. And we were not able to start the service because God came and showed up in an amazing way. Because we'd prayed. Because we'd spent 2 years gathering together. God suddenly thought to himself, you know what? I'm going to show up there in an increased way. And why did he do that? Because God loves places that feel like heaven. And in that prayer meeting, somehow, we'd cultivated an environment that must have felt a bit like heaven. With everybody praying, everybody seeking him, everybody wanting him to come. Not for themselves, but for everybody who was there. There was a unity. There was a increased passion. An amazing joyfulness as we prayed. And that prayer meeting that began in 2006, so 2 years before 2008, that prayer meeting that began in 2006, effectively, it's still going. So every single Sunday since 2006, maybe bar one or two here and there, we have gathered together as a church community to pray. And that time is still the engine room of the church. You won't find much that happens in the church that doesn't somehow originate with us praying together on a Sunday morning. When we came here to Sindlesham and first started to speak with Calvin, who was the minister before we came, one of the first places that we took the opportunity was to the prayer meeting. It wasn't to go into a strategic meeting and start to plan about how we're going to do this and how we're going to do that. No, we took it to the prayer meeting for the whole church to pray about. And we prayed, Lord, if we come and do this, Lord, we pray that you just bring people in. If we come and do this, we don't just want to sustain what's going on currently. We want to see it grow. We want to see it expand. And guess what? You're all sat here. You're all here. We took it to the prayer meeting and prayed together as a community that God would do something incredible, and he has done something incredible. You. This amazing community of people who are now all loving and serving and walking together on this side of Reading. Naughty, Wokingham. The prayer meeting of a church is the engine room of the church. As we said in Acts, as we read it in the early church, there's outcomes that we get from praying. There's things that God does amongst the community that happen because we come together and we pray, as the early church did. There's benefits we get from being in a prayer meeting. If you don't know how to pray, if you're not sure how to pray, go to the prayer meeting. You'll learn really, really quickly. That's how I learn. I learn how to pray by being in a prayer meeting. As we are in prayer meeting together, we hear God together and incredible things happen. And so the question is, what does God want to do with us next? What does God want to do with us as a church? And the place we will find that out is as we pray together, as we seek the face of God together. I haven't got time to go into it now, but the name of the gate, guess where that came from? The place of prayer as a church. We're not called the gate by accident. We're called the gate because as a church, together we said, Lord, what do you want us to be called? And as the church heard the voice of God, we said together, yes, Lord, if you want to name us the gate, and it comes from two Bible passages, you can look them at John 10, and then Genesis 28. You can read them and you'll find out. You'll see the gate in there. And you'll understand who we are as a church as you read those scriptures. We heard God together as a church, and that's why we've got the name we've got. So I want to encourage you, as one of the leaders in the church, I want to encourage you to make prayer a priority. Yes, yes, in your own life, absolutely. It's got to start there. But also as part of the church community. If you can make the prayer meeting on a Sunday morning, you can just have your screen off. Many people do. Many people come onto that prayer meeting and don't say a word, because they're just listening in the background. Because maybe they're on the journey of learning how to pray themselves. So don't feel like, oh, if I come to this prayer meeting, I've got to share. Be amazing if you do, but don't worry about, feel the pressure to come and have to pray. That's not it at all. The point is that we're there as a community and we're praying together and we're learning what God is saying together and we're sharpening one another in faith. If you can't make the 9 a.m., then there's a 7 a.m. on a Tuesday morning. It's more geared towards people who are going to work. You know, maybe that's a good time for them to pray, 7 a.m. on a Tuesday morning. If you want to come to that prayer meeting, then feel free. But I want to encourage you that prayer together as a community is a powerful thing. It has all sorts of wonderful benefits. So let's pray. Do you want to stand with me if that's okay? Lord, I want to thank you for the truth that as we're stood here this morning in Sindlesham, part of the reason we're stood here is because your people came together and your people prayed. Lord, as we asked you together as a church family that when we came here, that life would spring up. And Lord, I want to thank you that it has sprung up in Jesus' name. Lord, I want to thank you, Lord, that every single one of the precious people who are here this morning, they're here as the fruit of prayer. Lord, we thank you that as we continue to pray, as we continue to seek your face as a church family, Lord, that you will continue to speak to us, that you will continue to reveal your will, what you want for us as a church family. And Lord, if we are just obedient to what you say, then we are going to see incredible things happen amongst this community. We're going to see miracles and signs and wonders because we pray, because we're faithful, because we continue the pattern that you set back at the very birth of your church, that as we gather to pray, there are incredible and amazing outcomes. That generosity and love and healing and serving one another, feeding one another, it all increases as we pray together. So Lord, help us, teach us even more how we can pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.